And now it's over to the news desk with Reish Gomez and Abel Vasquez. But first, let's take a look at today's headlines.
Cuban lawmakers prepare bills for weekend legislature vote.
Vietnamese vice president winds up Cuba visit.
Venezuelan government and opposition agree to permanent peace dialogue.
U.S. House panel authorizes subpoenas for a dozen Trump associates.
And now for the news in detail.
Cuban lawmakers are meeting on Friday for consultations on bills that will be submitted to the plenary of the legislature over the weekend for a vote. The legislators will analyze the opinions on the electoral law, the national symbols law, and the fishing law. Earlier this week, Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel highlighted the importance of these three legislations, which will give coherence to these island authorities' commitment to expanding the legislative exercise in support of the new constitution. The electoral law is a mandate deriving from the Magna Carta, proclaimed in April and approved in a referendum in February with broad popular support. With respect to the fisheries bill, the Cuban leader said that it includes non-state actors supported by the updating process of the island's economic model. He also considered necessary the law of national symbols amidst the current circumstances in which the islands is submitted to a symbolic battle with colonizing platforms that want to destroy the island's identity. Due to the subjects dealt with, President Díaz-Canel described the legislative work of this week as historic. On Thursday, the ministers of tourism and industry reported to Parliament and made reference to progress and flaws on their respective sectors, both affected by the severe impact of the reinforcement of the U.S. blockade. The deputies were also briefed on the progress of the process of updating the Cuban socioeconomic model in order to build a prosperous and sustainable socialism.
Vietnamese Vice President Dan Thi Ngoc Thinh wound up an official visit to Cuba on Thursday, which included a meeting with Communist Party leader Raul Castro and the President Miguel Díaz-Canel. The Director of Bilateral Affairs of the Cuban Foreign Ministry, Emilio Lozada, and the ambassador of the Caribbean nation to Vietnam, Dianis Torres, saw the high official off at the Jose Marti International Airport in Havana, according to a national television report. As part of her agenda in Cuba, Dan Thi Ngoc Thinh visited the Varadero Beach Resort on Wednesday and voiced interest in the investment potential in the tourism industry. During her exchanges with the island's top authorities, they discussed the bonds of brotherhood between Vietnam and Cuba, as well as their respective experiences in the construction of socialism.
The Venezuelan government and opposition have agreed to engage in permanent peace dialogue as a result of three-day talks on Barbados, said Hector Rodriguez, the governor of Venezuela's Miranda state, who participated in the negotiations. We have agreed to establish permanent peace dialogue and reach accord on our readiness to work together for ensuring peace in the country, Rodriguez said on Thursday. This is not going to be an easy process. It is a path that deserves a lot of work. I have the perception that the political parties of the country can reach a governability agreement in which we recognize each other, Rodriguez said. Meanwhile, Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro said that parties would not detail the process of their negotiations so far. We have reached an agreement with the opposition and the government of Norway mediating the negotiations not to detail specific topics we are discussing. There are a total of six such topics, Maduro said. The talks in Barbados began on Monday. President Maduro has said that he was optimistic about their outcome, while Communication Minister Jorge Rodriguez has called them successful.
The U.S. House Judiciary Committee Thursday authorized a dozen subpoenas for associates of President Donald Trump as it pushes probes on obstruction of justice charges against the president. The subpoenas are targeted at individuals including Trump's senior advisor and son-in-law Jared Kushner, former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, former White House Chief of Staff John Kelly, former Attorney General Jeff Sessions, and former Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. Though Gerald Nadler, chairman of the committee, has not indicated he would issue the subpoenas right away, the party-line vote is likely to set the stage for an escalated battle between the House Democrats and the White House, in the wake of the Russian probe conducted by Special Counsel Robert Mueller. The investigation, which dominated the headlines for the larger part of Trump's presidency to date, has not produced a definitive conclusion of whether Trump has obstructed justice when he faced allegations that his campaign had colluded with Russia during the 2016 presidential election. The absence of conclusion has opened doors to contradicting interpretations from the White House and the Democrats, fueling a protracted political battle which saw the House Democrats eager to unearth further evidence by subpoenaing Trump associates. It's unclear if the White House would block the potentially new bath of subpoenas from the House representatives, as it had done in the past.
And you have joined Radio Vancouver's English language broadcast with Rach Gamis and Abel Vasquez on the news desk. Back now to today's news.
Authorities from Cuba and Turkish Airlines signed a memorandum of understanding this week to boost tourism between the two nations, the periodical Juventud Rebelde has reported. The agreement was signed at Havana's Hotel Nacional de Cuba by Barbara Cruz, Marketing General Director of the island's Ministry of Tourism, MINTUR, and Mustafa Dogan, Sales Vice President for the Americas of the Turkish airline. After signing the agreement, Cruz said the document will allow having closer links in tourism and promoting mutually beneficial actions for the two nations. She commented that since the opening of Turkish Airlines direct flights to the island at the end of 2016, the number of visitors from that country has multiplied, exceeding 17,500 in 2018, a figure with the possibility of increasing. Cuba and Turkey have signed several instruments on tourism since the intergovernmental agreement signed in 1999. In 2015, the ministries of tourism of both countries signed a memorandum of understanding, and on February 27, they signed a tourism cooperation action plan aimed at the areas of health tourism, thermal tourism, investments in tourism, and hotel management.
Iran's foreign ministry urged Britain to release its oil tanker, which Britain seized in the Strait of Gibraltar last week. Official IRNA news agency reported on Friday. The British claim over the oil tanker is legally void, Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman Abbas Mousavi told IRNA. Last Thursday, British Royal Marines in the Strait of Gibraltar seized an Iranian ship which was heading to Syria in breach of EU sanctions, Western media reported. The Spanish acting foreign minister said the seizure of Grace 1 was at the US request. Mousavi urged Britain not to enter what he called the dangerous game of the United States. We asked them to release the oil tanker soon, since it would be in the interest of all, he stressed.
United Nations Security Council members will visit Colombia in the coming days to review the implementation of the 2016 peace agreement that ended the armed conflict between the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia and the state. However, contrary to what the peace accord stipulated, the administration of President Iván Duque has left thousands of the ex-combatants without protection in rural areas. Even prior to Duque's inauguration nearly a year ago, powerful crime rings have been entering these regions to illegally mine, log, and cultivate illicit crops, while assassinating campesino and indigenous social rights leaders who oppose them. There are many programs that were simply never implemented, said Nandi Vargas, a researcher for the Peace and Reconciliation Foundation. It's a discouraging situation, she told Al Jazeera News Agency. Since the deal was put into effect in 2016, over 700 social leaders and 135 former guerrilla fighters have been violently murdered. According to data from the Institute of Studies on Peace and Development, few, if any, of the killings have been brought to justice. The peace agreement signed between then-President Juan Manuel Santos and the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia established the creation of a special investigation unit that should dismantle these criminal organizations. This past Wednesday, FARC member and Senator Carlos Alberto Lozada told the General Prosecutor of Colombia that the Colombian government has failed to dismantle paramilitarism in the region, which has instead grown significantly. At least 983 social leaders have been threatened with death in Colombia over the past 3 years. 50% of them were women.
A senior Palestinian official warned on Thursday that the Israeli moves against the Palestinians are pushing the regional situation into violence, chaos, and extremism. Israeli settlements pension and withholding of Palestinian tax revenues would bring the situation in the region into violence, bloodshedding, and chaos. Saeb Erekat, General Secretary of the Palestine Liberation Organization Executive Committee, told a group of American academics, religious men, and civil society representatives. Peace can only be achieved by ending the occupation and establishing an independent Palestinian state along the 1967 borders with East Jerusalem and its capital, he noted.
And once more, our headlines for today.
Cuban lawmakers prepare bills for weekend legislature vote.
Vietnamese vice president winds up Cuba visit.
Venezuelan government and opposition agree to permanent peace dialogue.
U.S. House panel authorizes subpoenas for a dozen Trump associates.